Thank you, Charmin. How something begins is very important. Perhaps the only thing more important than the beginning of something is the end of it. And as you can't have an end without a beginning, the beginning of something is really important. That's true, I think, in life in general, but it's also true with the beginning of all things. And that's what we're looking at. Last week we began a series looking at the book of Genesis. The word Genesis means beginning. And here we are in chapter 1, looking at the beginning of the beginning, the beginning of the universe. That's what we looked at last week. This week we're going to be looking at the 6 days of creation. And then next week, we're going to focus in on one day, day 6, and the creation of human beings. Now, Genesis chapter 1, as you heard from Charmian, it's unusual writing. It's not a poem, but there are poetic elements in there. It's not ordinary writing. You've got these repeated phrases which sound, it gives a rhythmic feel to the whole chapter. And even, there's even a poetic song in verse 27 when God creates men and women. It's probably right to think of this chapter as a great song. The writer is so caught up as he considers God creating the world, he's so caught up in awe and wonder and worship that when he writes about it, he has to write about it in some sort of song form. He's almost worshipping as he considers what God has done. Now, in this song, we see 3 things about creation. We see here what he's done, why he's done it, and how you can fit into it. What God has done, why he's done it, and how you can fit in. First of all, what has God done? Well, last week we saw that God has made everything, heavens and the earth. This week, what I want us to see is that God didn't just make everything, but he's designed everything. You know, God is pictured here as the master craftsman, the great artist, and the universe is his masterpiece, designed by him. And as we see God designing the universe, we see that there's an order to his design. You know, we're told that God created the universe in 6 days. You know, there's a system, there's an order built into the very fabric of creation. The earth had been without form and empty. And now God forms the formless and fills the empty. That's the sort of God he is. He forms the formless on days 1 to 3. On day 1, he forms light. On day 2, he forms the sky. On day 3, he forms and the sea. And on day 3, he forms the land. And then he fills what he's formed on days 4 to 6. He fills the light with the sun, with the moon, and with the stars. Do you know, in the original Hebrew, that word, that phrase, and the stars, is just one word. It's like a throwaway passing comment that the writer makes. That is actually incredible when you think about it. You know, do you know that there's, I tried to look up how many stars there were, and you know, you Google it, and there's about 10 billion galaxies, people think, in the universe. And there's probably about 100 billion stars in each galaxy. And that means, those of you who are quick mathematicians will have got there already, it means that there's 1 billion trillion stars in the universe, or the knowable or observable universe. And God just made them like that. You know, 3,500 years ago, people in the area where Genesis was written worshipped the stars. They were superstitious and believed that the stars directed their fate. It's just like modern-day horoscopes. But here we're told in the beginning of Genesis that stars do not direct your fate. Stars are just created bits of light. They have no power. God directs your fate. He directs the stars. Then on day 5, God fills the sky and the sea with birds and with fish. And then on day 6, God fills the land with animals and man and plants to eat. You know, the universe has been designed by God. You know, if the universe came into being by accident, which is the only other alternative, then we wouldn't expect to find order in creation. You couldn't do scientific experiments. There wouldn't be any consistent results because nothing would be consistent. You couldn't come up with scientific laws. You couldn't study science. In fact, if the universe just came into being by accident, then that doesn't just mean that creation's an accident, but that you and I are accidents as well. And just as there's no meaning in creation, there's no meaning in our lives. But you see, right at the beginning, we see that God has designed the universe. He's designed the world. He's designed your life for a purpose. You've been designed by God. And this design of God is stamped with his character. That's what these repeated phrases throughout that, and rhythmic and poetic phrases throughout this first chapter are saying to us. They're speaking to us about the character of God, which he stamped in creation. Talk to us about his power, his wisdom, his goodness. You know, we see God's power 10 times, we're told, and God said. God doesn't create without speaking. And as he speaks, 8 times we read, let there be. His word that creates is a command. And then 7 times we're told, and it was so. His word which creates is a command that does something. Creation wasn't just created by God, but it obeys God. You know, in life, generals command armies. Prime ministers order politicians. Mums order toddlers. And we get frustrated because things don't happen as we want. When God orders, it happens. When God commands, creation obeys. And we see God's power as well in God's naming and blessing of creation. 7 times we're told that God names or blesses things. He calls the light day. He calls the darkness night. You know, to name something is to exert power over it. You know, when you name your dog Daisy, you're exerting authority over your dog. When God names things, he's exerting authority over them. In fact, he's not just exerting general authority, but specific authority, because he's defining what they're meant to do and be. We also see God's wisdom in creation. In wisdom, God designed everything. He divides, he distinguishes, he differentiates, he orders. He assigns to everything its place, its value, its meaning. He divides time into days, so we have 7 days in a week. Days consisting of evening and morning. He separates the light from the darkness. He puts birds in the sky and fish in the sea. Not the other way around. That's why the psalmist in Psalm 104 says, "Oh Lord, how wonderful are your works. In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Here's the sea teeming with creatures, great and small." In wisdom, God has made everything. But we also see God's goodness. You can't miss it, can you? 7 times in the chapter we're told, "And it was good." In fact, at the end we're told in verse 31, when God looked at everything, he said, "It was very good." God don't make bad stuff. If you see anything bad, God didn't make that. God makes good things. He made a good world. He made it good because he is good. The world he made is stamped with his character and reflects his character, and so it can only ever be good. Only God is good, but God's goodness is displayed through his handiwork. See, God is beautiful. And when God made the world, he made it to reflect that beauty. That's why it says in Psalm 19, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The earth shows his handiwork." You see, the universe was created to bring glory to God, to display his character, to show how great he is. You know, it is possible for you to think that the world, material stuff, is bad. It's possible to think that you need to escape from the world and go and live in a ghetto, or, you know, it's possible to think that this world is not just, this physical world isn't important. But God thinks it is. God thinks it's good. And so if he thinks it's good, we shouldn't avoid physical things. We shouldn't avoid the stuff that God has made for us to enjoy. We shouldn't think this world is bad. We shouldn't think it doesn't matter what happens to the Amazon rainforest or whether people suffer. Because it does. It matters to God. And so when you see stuff in this world going wrong and not being as it God created it to be, you should do something about it. We should be bothered about the poor. We should be bothered about our environment. Because this world that God has made is good. Do you know, God's design of the universe is one of the pieces of evidence for the existence of God himself. You know, if you're here this morning and you're struggling with the existence of God, just think for a minute about the design and order of creation. You know, there's a number of physical constants in the universe, stuff like gravity, stuff like the speed of light, stuff like the strength of nuclear forces and other such things. And they've all got precise values. They're like finely tuned dials. And if one of those dials was off, even for a moment, this universe wouldn't exist and we wouldn't exist. You know, like take the rotation of the earth for an example. You know, the earth rotates once every 24 hours. We know that from school. We know it from life. If it took longer than 24 hours to rotate, The earth would get too hot and too cold. Life couldn't exist. If he took less time than 24 hours to rotate, it'd be too windy for life to exist. Now that's just one small piece of evidence for the design of God in creation. That kind of thing doesn't happen by accident. Or take Jupiter, for example. You know, if Jupiter wasn't in its place in the solar system, then the Earth would be constantly bombarded with meteors and with, like, space stuff which would destroy the Earth. The Jupiter absorbs that into its atmosphere. It operates like a vacuum cleaner, sucking stuff in. That sort of thing didn't come into existence by accident. The universe has been designed by God. So if the universe has been designed by God, why did he do it? Have you ever asked that question? Why is there something instead of nothing? You know, if God has always existed, why did he want to make creation in the first place? You know, he didn't have to make it. There's nobody forcing him to do it. He just wanted to do it. So why has he done it? If he was perfectly happy, living as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in all eternity, why did he create the universe? Well, there's two reasons. The first is he created it for his enjoyment. He made it so that he could delight in it. In verse 31, we're told what God thinks of creation. And behold, it was very good. That's not just a statement of quality. It's also a statement of enjoyment. You see, God is the great artist, and he's standing back from his creation after making everything, and he's looking at his handiwork and saying, I like what I've made. It reflects my character, my power, my wisdom, my goodness. I like that. It's good. It's really good. I enjoy looking at it. You know, he's responding to his creation like you do after you've had a swig of cherry coke. You put the can down and go, That's what you do, isn't it? After you've had cherry coke? You know, when God looks at his creation, at the end of creation, God is saying, I'm enjoying what I see. You know, that's what the seventh day is about. What's the seventh day about? What's this Sabbath about at the end of the chapter? It's about God enjoying what he's made. In fact, in Exodus 20, with the Ten Commandments, we're told that God created the seventh day to rest and to be refreshed. He looks at what he's made and enjoys it and takes pleasure in it. He sees the reflection of his glory and says, I love that. I think that is good. He looks at the world and in its completion and in its perfection and just stands back and admires it because he reflects himself back to himself. You know, you might have seen the BBC